Let's begin our discussion of, I think earlier in the year we had a shiur about the lundus relating to Kibbutz Avaim and the unique placement of where it is on the Aseres HaDibros of Achulu. But now we'll get into some of the Maisa questions. Again, we could spend many hours and many shiurim on issues of Kibbutz Avaim LaMaisa, but we'll touch on just a few of them in the time that we have. The Rambam tells us that in Hilchas Mamrim, again, it was one of the classic Rambam organizational genius. We've mentioned this, that the Rambam created Hilchas Mamrim, right? That did not exist before the Rambam was there, and he put together three areas of halacha that were not together in Chazal. Right? We have Kibbutz Avaim, and Zakin Mamre, and Ben Sora Emore. Right? What do those three have to do with each other? But that's the Rambam puts them together. So in Hilchas Mamrim, the Rambam says, Kibbutz Avaim, mitzvahs asei gedola. Kibbutz Avaim is a very big, very important, valuable mitzvah saseh. We're not so well versed in it. If you look at the Piskei Tshuvos there in Yaradei, he says, "V'tzorach chizuk gadol b'mitzvah zu." We need chizuk. Ki ba'avonosinu arabim rabba amach she'la b'zeh. Right? There's a great stumbling. Mechoser yediyas gedulas mitzvah kedusha zu. We don't realize the amazing qualities of this mitzvah and how far we have to do. V'gam matzui b'zeh rifyam v'nesha b'toch hergol l'mahorim losamim alev rum erech ha-mitzvah v'chomer ha-dikduk. Right? And because nowadays there's a different relationship between parents and children. Parents are more buddy-buddy. You know, that's what this generation needs. That's what generation, they're, you know, the awe and fear and trepidation generally does not work these days. So, you know, this has to be an effort made on behalf of the children to be able to recognize the stature of which to hold their parents. Right? Some of the Amoraim famously said, so source number three, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Tarfon, whenever his mother wanted to get to her bed, Gachin Vesalakla used to bend down, she used to step on him in order to get into her bed. Whenever she wanted to get off the bed, he went down again. And she went to the base bedrush and said, "You know my son Tarfon, he's amazing. Amri le'adayin lo yigata l'chatzi kibbut." He hasn't even done half of what is expected of Kibbutz Avaim. Whoa. Different mefarshim talk about what that means. Klum zorka aron nekil b'fanech al hayam v'lo hechlemta. Did you throw his wallet in the river with all of his credit cards in it? And he didn't get mad at you? There's a shayla in the Gemara. Is a parent allowed to do that? Might be a lifnei iver. But the point that the mefarshim talk about that Kibbutz Avaim is a very high standard. Rav Yosef ki amishama kal radime amar eki mikami shchina dasya. When Rav Yosef used to hear his mother coming, he used to say, "I'm going to stand up for the shchina." We'll talk about standing up. Amar Rav Yochanan, and then Rav Yochanan has the most startling statement. Ashrei mishalo chaman. Praised is the one that never saw his parents. Rabbi Yochanan never saw his parents. Rabbi Yochanan ki abrat te'imo meis aviv, when his mother was pregnant with him, his father died, yold also, and then his mother died in childbirth. And he says, praised is the one, that they never have the nisayon. There is some kibbutz avaim after Misa, but they don't have the nisayon. Again, Rabbi Yochanan, and he lost 10 sons in his life, he had a tough life. He had a tough life, Rabbi Yochanan. But it just showed the fact that Rabbi Yochanan could say such a thing means that there's a very high standard. The Chazon Ish used to tell his Talmidim, source number five, that a couple of weeks before Bein Hazmanim, you got a Chazor the Halachas. It's like Shloshim Yom Lefnei. Like Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, you have to Chazor the Halachas of Pesach. And so Shloshim Yom Lefnei Bein Hazmanim. You have to go and Chazor the halachas, because I would say in the days of old, it was even more important because there was basically no connection and communication, you know, during the Zman. You went home for Ben Azmanim. Now we could talk to our parents a lot also, but Eino Dome, still Eino Dome. But that's why it's a good thing to do anytime, but we have to recognize the importance of it. And one final point by way of introduction, Rav Palm writes in source number six, you know, often you'll have a couple of siblings around, and the parent will ask one sibling to do something, and the reaction is usually, "Why do you always ask me? Why do you ask him or her? It's always me." So it could be because the him or the her never listen. But we have to recognize, what kind of a reaction is that? "Why do you always ask me? I'm giving you a treasure. I'm offering you a treasure. You know, I'm giving you 5 billion, whatever. So, like, why do you always give it to me? Why not them?" That's a problem. That's how we have to look at it. That's what we have to look at it. Manora is a nezifa kazeh. Imagine the embarrassment and the, what kind of pushing off is this? Eloi, maybe Mashalafanov, if he would understand what's in front of him, they would run to do it. They would jump to do it. So let's talk about some of the halacha lemaisa elements of kibud aveim. First of all, why is there no bracha on kibud aveim? The Rishonim discuss. Why is there no bracha? The Rashba asked this question, source number 7. That's the Rashba is one of the classic, there are two sources in the Rishonim, the Rashba and there's an Abu Draham, also parallel about all the mitzvahs that don't get brachas. So why don't they? So the Rashba here talks about why they're brachas on some and not on the other. So the Rashba says here, there are certain mitzvahs that are tali al chavero. If they're tali on my friend, like tztaka, they might refuse. So tztaka, there's no bracha because maybe it'll be a bracha vatala if my friend refuses. The Ravid wonders how we could say a bracha before we get married. Maybe she'll say no. So right, the Ravid. Maybe the Rambam holds, you know, there's a good chance if she's ready under the chuppah and she's wearing a white dress, that she'll say yes. But the Rashba says maybe this is partly because kibud aveim. Right? Maybe my parents will not be interested in the cup of tea that I'm bringing them. Maybe they won't want it. So you might say, oh, but you still did kibud aveim by offering it to them. But still, if you know, it's something to talk about. Number one, the Jew is Binyamin Ze'ev, one of the early, Jew of 1500s, early Achronim. He says, well, maybe we only say a berachas mitzvah on a mitzvah that distinguishes us from the Umos Ha'olam. Right? If we're different from the Umos Ha'olam, here, bring some of these back. If we're different from the Umos Ha'olam, source Binyamin Ze'ev and source 8. Demavarchim, we say, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, sanctified us with his mitzvos. Shanu mekudashim in the Umos She'ena Umos Osan Osam Klal. Avol b'mitzvah shafilo Umos Osan Osam. Lefamim. They do kibud aveim. Lo mevarchinan. Kibohen ein anu mekudashim mehem. Right? This mitzvah doesn't sanctify me different than others like kibud aveim. That's what he has as one of his examples. So maybe they'll refuse. Maybe it doesn't distinguish us. Other achronim have other suggestions. I'll mention one that's not on your sheet. And that is, maybe saying a bracha on kibud aveim is inappropriate. Because saying a bracha would formalize and legalize it. Right? Kibud aveim is not supposed to be a formal legal obligation. Oh, my father wants me to get him a drink. Okay, I have a mitzvah to get him a drink. So I'm going to go get him a drink now. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher hagashanu b'mitzvah l'chabad aveim. No, chas v'shalom. Right, l'mashal, we spoke about this before Pesach. The Rav Soloveitchik explained a Rav Haigon, like there's no bracha at the end of halal of the Seder, because it's not supposed to be like a formal, oh, we have an obligation to say halal. No, it's supposed to be a natural outpouring of emotion that you just cannot. So you can't say a bracha. That would formalize and legalize and minimize it. So the Chai Adam writes, Kibud aveim is about not just doing actions, but yedame be'enav. We have to imagine, shehem gedolim v'nechbad de'aretz. We have to imagine that they're nobles. They're nobility. Even if they're not nobility to the rest of the world, they're nobility to me. And that's how it says the Chai Adam, we have to look at our parents. And Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says, if I go through life doing every single thing for my parents, but I'm not machshiv them, right? I do everything. I get them food and drinks and I clean up, whatever, and I do whatever they want, I'm missing a major part of the mitzvah. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt in source number 10. Find something in your father that's different, that makes you very, you know what, makes you unique. Right, but if it's just me, I'm missing a major part, and it's not complete. So a lot of what the mitzvahs try to bring us to feel is this recognition of keeping our parents on a pedestal. Where, and now we'll get, this is all by way of introduction, now we're going to get to some of the lemaisa cases, but just one other point of lumdus, I'll just mention it and then we'll continue. The Mechaz Chinuch has the Chakira in source 11, whether kibud aveim is mitzvah ben adam l'makom or mitzvah ben adam l'chavero. We spoke about this in the previous year, earlier in the year. about where this belongs in terms of categorization. He has nafkaminas based on that, but it's an important sugya, and it really bridges and is really in both worlds. That's why it's on the first side of the luchos, even though it's obviously keep ben adam l'chaveiro as well. Okay, so there are really two mitzvahs of kibud avein. There's really mora and kibud, two different mitzvahs. We usually group them together, but there's really two. Mora is awe. Most things that we don't do is because of awe. Mora avein, ishimova vivti ra'u. Kibud are more of the positives. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Reish Mem, Ezeu mora lo ya'amod bimkamo amiyuchad lo. If there's a place that a father, there's a place that he usually stands, right? I don't know, in shul or anywhere in public, he usually stands somewhere. Or in his makam kavu in shul. Even not sitting in his seat, that's the next halacha, but standing where he usually stands, right? That is a problem. And obviously not to sit in his seat. Not to sit in the seat, even if he's not at home. Right? Even if he's not at home. It's not a question of the father being there. If he's not at home, the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't have in front of you, talks also about the mother. If the mother has a specific place to sit or a place to stand. The Piskei Tshuva's quotes, which is something that sometimes the Minhag Olam, some people are makel, but he says maybe it's not so appropriate. Sometimes if you move the chair to a different spot. I remember as a little child, going into my father's study, and he had this big chair. And sometimes, you know, if I needed a place to sit in there because it was quiet, so, you know, they'd move the chair to like the other side of the room and to sit in there. But the Piskei Tshuva says maybe it's not the best thing to do because it's still his chair, still recognizable as his chair. So then you get, what about if it's a different chair at his desk? It's also probably that's better than his chair, but it's still in the spot, right? That's the first halach of the Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, a father could always be mochel. We'll get to some of that. Shalobim komo. Horu, so even to move his chair to a different place. Horu poskeiz manenu. Sheyesh lahachmir bazeh. Right? Why should we machmir? Im nikar shakisei miyuchal av. If it's clearly the father's chair. B'tavniso v'tziraso. I'm going to nearish. Right, if the father's not makbid, it's mutter, but we'll get to that idea about not being makbid in a little bit. So number one, not sitting in his place, not standing in the place. The Shulchan Aruch, back to source number 12. Velo soser es dvarav. Not to contradict. Not to argue. Shulchan Aruch says, arguing. Right? Even if the father makes a mistake. Right, correcting my father is not appropriate, right? Unless, right, if it could lead to some type of busha or embarrassment for the father, so then maybe softly and gently. But if not, if the father's telling a story and there's no, let's say I'm telling a story and I misspeak, or I got a detail wrong, and it's not going to make any difference, right? Then it shouldn't be corrected. Right, lo soser es dvarav. Right, there's no toelis there, no toelis in this regard. This is a huge topic. Let's just do a little more, and then I'll mention it. What about in learning? So if you look in the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner in source 14, lo soser es dvarav. That's a quote from the Shulchan Aruch. You can't contradict them in life discussions. But in Torah you can argue. Even in Torah. Okay, if you're learning together, okay, you're back and forth. But the father just says something in Torah. Right, that's not so. Again, the Be'er Sheva says maybe it's different, but the poskim generally say that is also a problem. Relating to this, I think, is a very important message in terms of correcting, not just in speech. You know, there is a tendency, you know, for some, especially you know those back from Israel, to go back and like notice like all the things that are wrong, all the things that are, you know, the cooking on Shabbos, and how do you warm stuff up, and the this and that. It's so crucial to recognize that it's not the child's job to improve or correct anything of the parent's behavior. That's crucial. If the parent wants to know something, if the parent wants to grow and wants to... But it's not my job. It's my job to know how I want to live, how I want to... And generally, there's yesh mi'ama lismach. Generally, it's fine. It's mutter. There's some other shitas out there. Usually, it's not totally. It's even Bishul B'Shabbos is generally usually something to rely on. You got to remember the Prima Gadim. If there's a shita out there, that an authoritative shita, even if it's the minority shita, you can eat the food. So, you know what? The general point from this discussion of the details is we always have to make sure that we're very careful before we and we're always err on the side of not saying anything, and it's not our job. It's not our job. It's not our a child's job to go back and to correct anything and to improve anything. If something comes up in the discussion, you know, then fine. But I mentioned in the past, did we do Tfilas Kelim this year? What? Yes. Remember, so I think I started off with this story months ago. Remember, I was talking in yeshiva when I was Rebbe in YU about Tfilas Kelim, and the next was on a Thursday, and then the following Sunday, Monday, one of the Talmidim came and said, Rebbe, guess where I was? Guess where I was on Friday? I'm like, where? He's like, I came home and told my mom. I'm like, why? I just heard of this thing. He didn't come home and say, you're doing something wrong. He just said in a way like, wow, I learned something I never heard of before. It's a regular modern Orthodox, you know, community, the tri-state area, New York. And she's like, I never heard of that. She goes to the rabbi. I don't know if it's one of these newfangled chumras of the young rabbis, right? And I'm still not old, but this was 23 years ago. But anyway, and the rabbi says, no, it's halacha. So they've been married for 20 plus years, and they went and they took all their glasses and all their silverware, right, to Tovels. That was just an amazing attitude. But in any case, it's not a child's job to tell the parents what to do or to correct. And there's halacha about it. There's halachas about it as well. Okay. Calling name. Calling a parent by their name. So the Shulchan Aruch, back in source 12, right? V'lo yikra'enu b'shmo. A child is not allowed to call a parent by their name. Lo b'chaya v'lo b'moso. Ela omer abamari. Just say avimori. Right? A child is not allowed to call a parent by the name. What about with this title? Professor... Right, doctor. Right, what about with a title? So the Rama allows it by a Rebbe. The Rama allows it by a Rebbe. In Source 15, Rebbe Mori Ploni. Right, let's say you're calling up your Rebbe for an Aliyah. You're the Gabbai. Right, Mori V'Rabbi Harav Blank. Because you're giving him a title. Give him a title, then it is it's Mutter. The Vilna Gaon there says V'Chein Ba'aviv, also by a father. Also by a father. This parallel. And he quotes a number of Gemaras. We find a number of Gemaras where Tanoim quoted their father with Abba Chalafta or Abba something. They quoted them by name, but they said Abba beforehand. So that was like a title. The Yamshel Shlomo was not convinced. The Marshal, I think he was a cousin of the Ramah. The Gra could argue on anybody. But the Marshal is earlier than the Gra, a couple hundred years. So the Marshal says, no, I think a father is more Chamor. Right? You could have a lot of Rebbes. You only have one father. So the Amshel Shlomo is Machmir. See where it's underlined? Uba Aviv Bechalin Yinas Galash Gishmola Olam. No, just say Avi Mori. Why? Vatam Shein Lo Ela Avechad. Vein Kan Makom Latos. Just say my father. People don't know who your Rebbe is. Just he thinks the father is more Chamor. And Rav Moshe is saying, if you can, Roy Lahachmir, unless there is a tzarech. But otherwise, even with a title, one shouldn't, if you're talking about your father. What if it's for just identification purposes? What's your father's name? Right, Zev, you ever get that question? Right? Who's your father? What's your last name? Oh, so who's your father? So, how do you answer that question? I can't answer that. I learned in yeshiva, I can't say my father's name. Sorry, I can't answer your question. Guess. Go through some names. Right? No. I'll spell it for you. You know, but, so what do you do? So if you look in the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer, source 19, he says that's not a violation of a kibud of mora'av. No, you're not saying, you're just identifying. And if you identify with a right with a title that also, right, what's your father's name? Say Mr. whatever, Dr. Right, don't just say the name. Right, so then also it could help. So Lamayna Gemina, where else do you have identification? What about getting an aliyah? So there's different minhagim of Gabayim, what they do. But if you look in the Eretz Tzvi, the Kajik Lover, he says that the minhag olam is to call up by the name. So you like Dafka say, Avi Mori. Who's Avi Mori? Who's the Gabbai's father? Anybody know the Gabbai's father? The minhag olam is to say it, so it's okay. You shouldn't say Yamo, just the name. But to say Yamo Avi Mori with the name, that's okay. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Says the Eretz Tzvi. The Kriyah Los Torah Chashiv Lo Efshar LaDure Mishum Tzorach LaAliyah Bishmo Kmenag Yisrael. That's the Menag Yisrael. Right. If you're calling him up for a different kibud, the Piskei Tshuva says. Let's say you are the MC at a chuppah. So everybody's going to know. You know, calling up Avi Mori, father of the Chassan. Oh, who's that? Right. So in that case, you don't have to say the father's name. Again, if you say it with a title and you're saying an identification, there could be Makom Lahakel, but if one does, you could just say Avi Mori. So those are a couple of examples in terms of Mora. In terms of Mora, yeah.
What about when I get an aliyah and the Gabbai asks me my name and my
Yeah, that's a great question. It's okay. That's the Minagolam. Minagolam is...
Like, you don't need to say Avi Mori first?
I don't think so. Nobody says that. Somebody asks you your name, you say your name, Ben. Harav, you don't say Ha Mister, you know, because that's your name. That's your name. That's not his name, if it's Ben. So what about Kavod? Talk a little bit about Kavod. So it's interesting that the examples of Kavod in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, we usually think, what's Kibbutz Avim? Like saying thank you. Like when they give you something and they give you money, thank you. That's Kibbutz Avim. Those aren't the examples that are given in the Gemara. The examples in the Gemara are, source number 22, Ezeo Kavod, Ma'achilo, feeding them. Obviously, at a time when they can't feed themselves, let's keep it avim. At a time when parents can't feed themselves, ma'achilo, mashkeu, malbishu, machase, clothing them, helping them get dressed, ma'achnusu moti, taking them places. V'yino lo b'seir panam yafes, obviously with a smile. Any service. The Rambam writes in Pirshei Mishnayos, right? Rabim mi lispar. There's too many examples to list. Right? What he did for Maimon, his father. But there's too many examples. So that's any type of service related. And it doesn't have to be in person. It doesn't have to be in person. If you look in the Tshuvas Lahoros Nasan, Rav Nasan Gestetner, contemporary, Nifter, I don't know, a number of years ago, he says, Vine, Avsha Benu Barichag Makom, what if the son is not living with the parents right now? What if they're in yeshiva for the year? Chai, b'mitzvos, keep it of aim. There's a mitzvah, keep it of aim. Right, Yaakov Avinu Nana Shosh Zagabe Slavin. Remember Yaakov, it was an extra years. He was punished for being away. The Chulu, and they say, why didn't Yaakov send the postcard? But what if the parents want a letter? What if the parents, you know, WhatsApps? When would they be happy with WhatsApps? What? And if you say four times a day, okay, they have to be have a realistic expectation also. But whatever that is, you know, try to meet their standards. Right, and if parents want their kids to write a letter, they sent you to yeshiva, so they're mochel on personal kavod. But there's whatever kavod you can still give them from far away, you have to give them. So whether it means a phone call, whether it means a WhatsApp, an email, whatever it is. In those days, Rav Losson Nassan was pre-internet. Right, write a letter. Write a letter, telephone call, messages, where the Sefer Chassidim says, very important. Sefer Chassidim is one of the Bali Atosfos. He says, when you get to your destination, send a letter back that you're okay. You ever get that? Call me when you get there?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you forget. I've been up and I've been waiting for the phone call. Sefer Chassidim, 900 years ago. Call me when you get there. Right there. So kavod. There is a kavod is obviously supposed to bring us to a closeness, to a feeling of ahava. Maybe this could have been mentioned before by the names, but it's fascinating. The Chassam Sofer in Source 26 quotes his Rebbe, Rav Nelson Adler. There's a lot of parallels between Rebbeim and parents. So the greatest Rosh Hashiva we call, in third person. Will Rebbe like? Will the Rav like? I've told that story before. One time when my daughter was 2.5, although it was 2.5 or something, or 3. Remember, we still lived in Woodmere at the time. Somebody called on the phone. It was a house phone. I remember what one of those are. They called on the phone and somebody asked, is the Rav home? So my daughter says, the Rav's on the wall, but my father's home. So, true story. But we picture the Rav on the wall. So the Rav's on the wall. My father's home. Can I speak to him? He's like, yeah, I'll take your father. So that put me in my place. So it was very good. A great story. A true story. But we don't speak to our parents in third person. Right? Will Avi Mori like? That's weird. Why don't we do that? They've covered to the Rebbeim. It's parallel. So Avi, even in the Torah. Avi, Esav, who was the master of Kibbutz Avim, called Yitzchak, Avi, my father, doesn't say, in third person. So the answer is that there's a balance. The Aruch HaShulchan says this too, and that is, there's the balance of Kibbutz Avim, but also the love and the connection. And if the distance would sacrifice that love and connection, then you don't do that. The Mora, not sitting in his seat, they're not calling him by his name and not contradicting him, that doesn't undermine the love. That creates a certain respect. But calling them by the third person would be too far. And the Aruch HaShulchan says you'd be one of the matmiim. And we don't do that. Oh, what if your father's the God of Adar? Even so. Okay, standing for a parent. This is one of those unknown halachas, but it's meferish. Shulchan Aruch says in Source 28, Chayev la'amod b'pnei aviv. You have to stand up for your parent. Right, Rav Yosef stood up. We had earlier, Rav Yosef stood up for his mother. Right? From when? When do you have to stand up? From when you see them. If they're far away, if they're not going to see you stand up for them, so then maybe you don't have to yet. But you have to stand up when they get in the vicinity. Malei komasev. Stand up, not one of the... like Baruch Elokeinu, right? There's a big shayla about where that comes from anyway. But you have to stand up. Malei kumasa, the Aruch HaShulchan says. And again, to make it clear, make it nikar that it was for the parent. How often? How often do we have to stand for a parent? So based on the Rambam, the Rama says, Reshman Beis Tezayin, the Rama says twice a day. Not more than twice a day, just like we say Kriya Shema only twice a day, but the Shach says no, every time a parent comes in. So most people don't do this nowadays. Why? There's implicit mechila. And even if you do it, your parent will say, what are you doing? It's like, I learned to the Shulchan Aruch, they're supposed to stand up. Don't you stand up for me. I'm not your rabbi. Don't you stand up for me. So that's mechila. Right, that's so the Rav Sternbach in Shubas Vahanagos talks about, yeah, we know that the parents are more laid back about this nowadays, but he says, I'm not so sure it's a bad thing, at least sometimes. Mitzad chinuch. Sometimes like a father sometimes could be so makel, yeah, sit in my seat and sit in my place. But there is something to not sitting in your father's seat. Even if you're the father. Not to be mochel everything. So there's a balance here. So if Sternbach wonders, whether it's a good idea, maybe it's okay for, not always, not to be so demanding of it, but it's a halacha to be aware of. There is a big discussion. What about waking up your father? So we all know, Dama ben Asina got the paraduma. He wouldn't wake up his father. He wouldn't get the keys under the pillow. That's in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. You have it in the Bavli in Source 32. So all the Rishonim wonder on that Gemara. Wouldn't the father have wanted to be woken up to make so much money? So there's a Shiloh. They talk about it. They talk about it here. But if it's other than that, it definitely shouldn't be done. What about for a mitzvah? What if your father says, wake me up for mincha? Is that okay? Wake me up for mincha? So make her a din, yes. Maker Adin is okay. The Sefer Chassidim again says, if there's a revach lavid, there's no greater revach than mincha, than a mitzvah. So as revach, then for sure it is okay, and maybe even not just allowed, but obligated to wake up a father, especially if he asks you to wake him up for a for a mitzvah. Then there are the general, some general issues.
Should it even matter for him? Meaning, if he asks you to wake him up for lunch, let's say.
Right.
He asks you to do it, that's...
Right, if he asks you to do it, it's meagra then it's mutter. I remember when sometimes that happened, I would try to get my mother to... Daddy asked me to wake him up, can you just... So is that like a violation? Because I'm making my mother do something now that... I don't know. But I was always nervous about waking up a parent. Okay, but there are other major issues that we know. Chazal tell us that if a parent asked a child to do an aveira, obviously his limit, we don't do that. Parent asked to Mechal Shabbos. But what if there aren't, it's not as clear like that. What if a parent says to a child, I don't want you to make aliyah. And the child wants to make aliyah. That is a huge discussion in the poskim. And there's no me'ikar adin. Maker, is that saying to a child not to do a mitzvah? So that is a big discussion, and every case is different based on the situation. A parent generally does not have the rights to say something like that to a child if it doesn't impact the parent, except for, I love you, I don't want you to be so far away from me. Every parent wants their children to be near them. But there is a big discussion. I gave you a couple of the sources related to it. What about a decision that has nothing to do with the parent? It has to do with the child's life. Again, if the child is an only child and the parent is nervous as he gets older, he's going to need somebody to take care of them. That's one case. But what if there are plenty of children, plenty of grandchildren, plenty of family, and the parent just doesn't want them to make aliyah because, I don't know, I think anybody who moves to Israel is crazy. Right? I think whatever it is. So Meikar Adin, the child does not have to listen. In that circumstance. Again, there are, I gave you tshuvas here. The Mabit says, in the Pasa Shulchan, it's against the mitzvah. So one is not allowed. But again, I would say there's no general rule here. One has to discuss it and talk to parents. And it's always good to try to work things out and bring closer. What about, the Ramah talks about, what about getting married? What if a child wants to marry somebody and the parent is not so happy? Again, if the poskim say, if it's a marriage that will directly negatively impact the family in some way, which generally is not. So then that's a separate story. But generally, is most of the time, I don't know, the father-in-law, son-in-law, they don't like each other, whatever it is. So in that type of, generally we say the Ramah Paskins that one doesn't have to listen to the parent. The Maharik, you know, discusses this in towards the end of the, give you the Maharik? It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, source 38. Oh, the Maharik 39. I gave it to you. Yeah. So, generally, a good policy. Rav Vosner writes this. Try to delay and get the families to like come around to each other. You know, you got to think long term. Got to think long term. Even if like the child wants it right now, just got to think long term about family situations. You want to. Have a relationship with your family for the long run, right? It's very tricky. Rav Vosner, again, in source 40, says he always tried to like delay things and try to get things worked out before anything happened. But these are very tricky shilas. These are major shilas. But again, every case is different when it comes to marriage, when it comes to what yeshiva to learn in. What about coming shanabet? What if parents don't want their child to go shanabet and their child wants to go shanabet? So again, you have to try to calmly and in a gentle way, a process, and it can have other people involved. But ultimately, at the end, when if the parent says no, we're still living in our parents' house. So again, I'm not giving any answers to these questions because every situation is different. But it's something to think about. But it's not always like a parent says you can't make aliyah, I can't make aliyah, keep it a fame. It's not always so simple. You know, it could be simple the other way. This parent might not have the rights in certain decisions that don't have to do with the parent. That's a big discussion in the Rishonim. A decision that doesn't have to do with the parent, and the parent just puts in their two cents, you know, how much weight does that have? You know, generally, keep it of aim is something directly connected to the parent, servicing them and awe and love. Yeah?
What about changing a minhag or let's say parents
class? That's a great question. What about changing a minhag? Changing a minhag. So I would say there are minhagim and there are minhagim. And I think there are minhagim that are, there are two separate issues. There's kibbut of aim and then there's minhag of osav. So let's say the parent says, you whatever you want. So then you don't have the kibbut of aim issue, but you have the minhag of osenu, I would say there's certain minhagim that people are more emotionally connected to, and others that are not. There are minhagim that are based on halachic reasons, you know, and most minhagim, there's halachic reasons for a basis for both. You stand for Kiddush, you sit for Kiddush. You're,
there's a minhag that most rabbinic consensus is one way, but your parents do the other way. They rely on the same evens here. You're allowed to be strict.
One can. Oh, what if your parents wait 3 hours and you don't wait 6 hours? I think that's okay. You're allowed to. I once had a friend like that. The other way you can't do. The other way you can't do. You can't just say, you know, I'm going to move to Holland. You know, that could be if you move to Holland. If you move to Holland, everybody there wastes an hour. So then that's something to talk about.
And if you move to like a very yucky community, right?
But if you move to a yucky community, I think Rav Schechter talks about that. It's not so simple that, I think most poskim would say, you got to keep your six hours. But Rav Schechter is very big into minhag ha'makom. If everybody does one thing. Again, I'm not poskening, but he discusses that.
Presumably that wouldn't work if you just happen to move to a somewhat not so machmir community.
Right, most communities in our world today don't have one minhag. Right, most have a potpourri of minhagim, and it's a melting pot, and every city is a melting pot. So nobody, you have different accents, so I don't think the minhag ha'makom plays as much of a role in our day and age. But the minhag of family, they say, Soloveitchik gave this big 3-hour shiur about Havdalah. Havdalah, sitting, I don't even know what the maskana was. Standing, sitting. And after he gave this whole shiur on Shabbat afternoon, he made Havdalah, and he did it the opposite way of what he said in the shiur. So like, Rebbe, you just gave a 3-hour shiur about it. He's like, yeah, that's the base matters, and this is what my father did. So this is what I do. Right? So again, there's differences between that. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, there's a lot more. There's a ton more.